Well, good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. I'm glad to see each one of you here today. I'd like to welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, as well as those worshiping along with us on the live stream. We are here to worship the one true God who created everything, giving us life and a way to have eternal life through Jesus the Son. See, then God, He went even farther and generously gave us His Holy Spirit to be with us each day. So let's praise God this morning and thank God for the grandparents that He has given us. Because we're having a celebration Sunday this morning. So our service will look a little different than normal, but just thank God this morning for the grandparents that He put in our lives and how they changed us and worked in us and spoke into our lives this morning. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us and caring for us. Thank You for giving us a way to be with You. Help us to lay down all of our burdens so that we can praise and truly worship You. Whether we're going through good times or bad, You are still good. Just thank You for grandparents and the influences that they are and were in our lives and how You spoke through them. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn it over to the worship team.
A couple people asked me already this morning how my parents are doing, so they're not my grandparents, but they are grandparents. My mother was in the hospital, and she is home now. She does pretty well at taking care of herself. My dad is in rehab and probably could come home soon, but she's not really able to take care of him with the assistance that he needs, so we're still looking for some help with that. So it's just a little update. Thank you for your prayers on their behalf. This morning's offering is for pastoral support. That's how one of the things we do to help them be able to provide for their needs as they provide for our needs. So the offering is for that. The ushers can come forward during this first song. We also have a My Coins count for the children.
Water You turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like You. None like You. Into the darkness we shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like You. None like You. Our God is great. Stronger, God, You are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, water You turned into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like You, none like You. Us. And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? If our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, You are higher than any other. Our
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this glorious day that we can come together and celebrate. Celebrate your goodness in our lives, your love for us, and the fact that you loved us so much that you sent your only son to live a perfect life as a model for us, and then ultimately to die the death we deserve. And we thank you for that, that we know that accepting your son's sacrifice and love, we can be with you forever. And we thank you so much for that. Today, we just want to offer back our thanks. Father, we also thank you for all of your provisions to us, and we offer back a portion to you. We know that you have it all, but you have called us to do this as an act of worship. We pray that you help us to, as a church, to continue to meet the needs of those around us, to meet the needs of the pastors that work for us and for you. And we just lift this time up to you. Also want to thank all those that help in the church. Pastors are to be the equipper of the saints, and we the saints to do the work that you have called us to do. Lord, we also lift up today's picnic that would be a wonderful, enjoyable time of fellowship, but also that we can be a witness and a testimony to our community. And we thank you for all this and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
In my job as a crop consultant, one of the things I like to do is help the plant express all the genetics it was bred or raised to do. And so I look at the leaves, and I look at the roots, and I look and see if there's any disease or insect damage or all those kinds of things, and try and help the grower do a great job. And whenever I see amazing results, my family knows I like to talk about them, and I tell them about this cool thing I learned how to do, or this way a plant did well.
Yeah, and my job as a mechanic, I look for things on equipment that's rubber or plastic pieces that are broken, or metal pieces that are worn down from friction, and I restore those things to the way that they should be and make sure everything's running smoothly so it can do the job it's created to do.
In my job, I look for details. I am an accountant, and so I look for to make sure that the price on the bill is the price that was quoted to us. I look for the date by which I have to have it paid, and I also look to make sure that my boss is selling it for more than what it cost him so that he's not losing money.
Just like an avid bird watcher who looks for birds and excitedly tells others about their findings, God is calling us to watch for him, to recognize what he is doing, to remember the things he has done, and excitedly retell these things to the next generation. This includes daily provision and protection, miracles from Bible times and in our time, and most awesome of all, the power of Jesus' shed blood to transform us, taking us from death to life.
Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch. To live.
If any of you, or hopefully most of you, are coming to Sunday school right now, you know that we're going through the Old Testament. And if there's anything that's a common theme in the Old Testament, it's that the people of Israel seem to forget about the one true God quite often, and they turn away and chase after false gods. And it kind of leaves you to thinking after a while, you know, wow, how could Israel forget so quickly all the things that God has done for them in their life, in their lives? You know, if he was faithful in the past, surely he'd be faithful to them in the present. And there's also times Israel's told to remember what God has done, and not only remember, but also tell the future generations about what, how God was faithful to them and what God had done in their life, in their lives. And one famous example of this is in Joshua. It's right after Israel crossed the Jordan River. It's in Joshua 4, 1 to 7. It says, "When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, 'Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.' Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what did these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." And Israel chased after gods, false gods, so many times that it's hard to believe that they would have consistently been telling the future generations what God had been doing in their lives. And even though we live on the other side of Christ, you know, we're just as prone to wander away from God. And so it's just as important for us as it was for Israel to be telling those that come after us the times that God was faithful in our lives. And so this morning the focus is on grandparents, and to go along with that, if you're a grandparent, you should find in your church mailbox a card from the children in the church, colored by the children in the church. But telling about God's goodness and his faithfulness isn't just for the grandparents. That's for all of us to be doing. And so this morning we get to hear accounts of God's faithfulness in the lives of Janie Nault, Alvin Wise, Mike Reese, and Helen Becker. And as a way of signifying the passing on of the account to the future generations, we're going to have somebody from a younger generation reading each of these stories. And so I will begin by reading the story from Janie Nault. Psalm 145, 3 to 4. "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." In August of 1999, our son Lonnie was involved in a motorcycle accident. He was airlifted to Brandywine Hospital, where after many unsuccessful surgeries, his right leg was amputated below his knee. Lon was getting ready to leave for his senior year at Cedarville University in Ohio in 3 weeks. The doctors told him that it would be best for him to take a year off school, take time to recover, and then finish the following year. After some time at a rehabilitation center, Lon came home to the realization that his best friend and roommate, Dale, along with all the rest of his fellow engineering friends, were now back in school and going on without him. Tough times. A week or so later, we received a call from one of his professors that used to work for a prosthetic manufacturing company, telling us about a test program at Ohio Willow Wood, where a new type of gel liner was being tested on amputees with raw skin grafts. His professor encouraged us to contact their prosthetist, Raymond Francis. After praying and much discussion, we headed to Ohio and met with Raymond, who not only became Lon's prosthetist, but mentor, encourager, and lifelong friend. And after an exhausting day spent at Willowwood, Raymond questioned us about why Lon wasn't back in school and recommended we talk to Lon's professors to see if we couldn't persuade them to have Lon back in class, even though he had missed weeks of school. Within a few days, Lon was enrolled in the test program, back in school, and his roommate was running him to Willowwood several times a week to have the liner checked. Things just seemed to be looking up when a few weeks later we got a phone call from Lon. He was in terrible pain and just couldn't do it anymore. He wanted to come home. Wilmer told him he would either drive out and bring him home or we would make arrangements for me to come out to help him. He was in a wheelchair and crutches, living on the second floor of his dorm that was not handicap accessible. The next morning, I cried and prayed as I made the 8-hour drive to Ohio. Lon and I moved in with one of the nursing professors. I took him to class each day, and his roommate Dale came over every night to help him get caught up with his studies. 2 days after we moved in, I hear Lon calling me, only to discover that his stump had blown out and he was bleeding profusely. We ended up in the emergency room at the Springfield Hospital, where the doctors were able to stop the bleeding, but didn't seem to know what to do about the end of his stump. They had sedated Lon and left us to spend the day alone in the emergency room. It was a difficult time. I never felt so alone and abandoned. I didn't know anyone. We were far away from home and far from his doctors. At times like this, in desperation, I cried out to God, saying, "If you are here, Lord, I really can't feel you. Where are you?" Tears were falling from my closed eyes as I leaned my head against the wall. An arm came around my shoulders, and when I opened my eyes, there was a little black lady standing there, and these were her words to me. "Honey, I just had to come in and tell you that the presence of the Lord is so great in this room." I felt this amazing peace, knowing that no matter what happened, God was there to carry us through.
Good morning. For those of you that don't know, I am Alvin Wise's, one of his grandsons, and I'll be reading a few stories of God's faithfulness in his life. I remember when I was 17 years old, God speaking to me about accepting Christ as my Savior. In those days, we had revival meetings that lasted 1 week or more. I was attending these meetings at Lichty's Mennonite Church near Churchtown. My wife and I don't agree who the evangelist was, so I won't mention names. I just know that I had a heavy burden on my heart. During the invitation hymn, I remember taking a hold of the bench in front of me and pulling myself to my feet to signify that I wanted Jesus in my heart. I physically felt something go out of me from my head to my feet. My sins were forgiven and continued to be. In the early 1970s, we had an evening meeting here at Bowmansville. Paul Engstedt from Reading was preaching from James. He came to James 4, chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. "Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Paul looked out across the audience and said, "Purify your heart." It was as if he personally asked me, because I was addicted to smoking. In fact, I had a pack in my pocket at that very moment. I went home and threw everything I had in the trash, but Satan didn't give up easily. I had to leave early the next morning. I had problems with the truck. I was very frustrated, but finally left. I started down the road and saw two packs of cigarettes laying on the dash. I opened a pack and lit one and smoked about half of it. God said, "You quit." I said, "Yes, Lord," and threw the rest out the window. Another time I felt God speaking was when I was in my 30s. We had five children, ages preschool to early teens. My work was very slow and money was very tight. God started nudging me about tithing. I said, "Not now, once things get better." God said, "Now." I talked to my wife about it and she reluctantly agreed. Slowly things got better and we never missed the extra money we were giving.
We know that life is full of problems and trouble. There is always danger and threats of every kind, and it's natural to despair, to lose hope, or to fight back in the face of a threat.
But it is supernatural to lift eyes of faith to the hills where our help comes from. It's supernatural to be able to see with spiritual eyesight that God is here with us and is far more powerful than the threats around us. 2 Kings 6, 15 to 17 explains this spiritual eyesight.
"When the servant of Elisha got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city.
'Oh, my lord, what shall we do?'
the servant asked.
'Don't be afraid,'
Elisha answered.
'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'
Then Elisha prayed,
'Oh, Lord, open his eyes so he may see.'
Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha."
Just invite you to stand as we sing these next several songs. "My foes are many, they rage against me.
My refuge and strength. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due.
I'll be sharing stories of God's faithfulness written by Mike Reese. My experiencing the goodness of God began about age 14. My Methodist background had a one-week camp at Swarthmore College, where Isabel Kennedy, a missionary from Hawaii, was a speaker. Through her and other pastors, my life took on a new path of being a child of God. This continued through school and into the workforce. I met my wife by the hand of God. There were different jobs over the years. Some God led to me, some I followed my own way. But then God remained faithful. We have 2 daughters and 4 grandchildren, all who follow God. I was not always the spiritual leader I should have been in our home, but because of a faithful mother who had a deep and abiding faith. Over the course of about 6 years of surgery and cancer, I would sometimes leave the hospital wondering if my wife would be there the next day. When God did call her home, we all knew we would see her again in God's glory. I haven't always been as faithful as God expects, but He always forgives us if we ask for His forgiveness. In all things, God is able. Nothing is impossible with God.
Good morning. We're going to be reading some thoughts that was written by my mother and Ellen's grandmother on God's faithfulness.
As I grew older, I have become aware of God's grace and faithfulness in so many experiences. I also see how He has gone ahead of me and put things into place before they were needed. 3 years ago, my sister, who lived in California, lost a long battle with cancer. We received a call on Monday evening that her condition was deteriorating quickly and we had better come as soon as possible. We reserved plane tickets, and by Thursday noon, we were with her. She passed away 24 hours later.
While she was blessed with wonderful California friends, ultimately what happened next was Len and my responsibility. While grieving her passing, we had to make arrangements with a funeral home, close bank accounts, tie up loose ends with businesses she worked with, empty an apartment, sell a car, and more. We hoped to do this all during a two-week period we had planned to be in California, and that a trip back would not be needed. We also hoped to vacate her apartment in 8 days by the end of the month so that additional rent would not have to be paid.
God was faithful those 2 weeks, and we accomplished all we hoped to do.
A friend of a friend welcomed us into her home, so we did not have to pay for lodging at a hotel. The 45-minute drive from Santa Rosa to her home through the beautiful Napa Valley was just the downtime that we needed to relax after a busy, stressful day.
Kind people helped us with making arrangements with a funeral home. Medical bills from the past year or two depleted much of her finances, and she owned no property, so that cut a lot of red tape. And we could immediately go ahead with disposing of her material goods.
A death certificate was required to sell her car and close bank accounts. While the funeral home understood our situation, they could do nothing to rush the process. And we were told that it would be at least a month or two till we can get the needed certificates. Again, we were blessed with kind, understanding representatives at the DMV who told us how we could sell the car from Pennsylvania, and a bank official who went out of his way to make exceptions to their rules so that we could close accounts.
Caring people we did not know helped clean out cupboards and closets while I spent time on her computer and going through files in her desk. Looking back, I see how God was working ahead.
Had we not made yearly trips to California for the 8 years prior, purchasing airline tickets, finding our way through the airports, reserving a rental car, figuring out how to get to her apartment would have been overwhelming.
While her financial resources were limited, and that was at times troubling. In the end, that was a blessing in allowing us to avoid probating, a will, and other red tape.
I am slowly learning that I do not need to know what the future holds or dwell on the what ifs in life.
I have experienced and recognized God's faithfulness in many situations. I have heard others share how God has been with them when they face difficulties. My Bible is full of God's promises to always be with me.
A songwriter wrote these words, "I've stood on the bank of a wide-ranging river, trusting that I'll get across. I've made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing that I'd never get lost. I've been at the foot of what felt like Mount Everest, knowing that I'd have the strength for the climb, because through every trial, each test and temptation, one thing is sure every time. Over and over, again and again, God is faithful. Over and over, again and again, through it all, He has made me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I couldn't win. Jesus is with me, so I claim the victory over and over again."
Hebrews chapter 11 lists heroes of faith in God. These believers clearly had their spiritual eyesight fixed on something beyond the natural. Verse 13 says it was something they only saw from a distance. Verse 16 says, therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and that he has prepared a city for them.
Chapter 12 describes a spiritual sight or vision that we can have. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and let us fix our eyes on Jesus. Consider him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
And moving on to verse 22, it says that we have come to the city of the living God, to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven.
Verses 26 through 28, God promises that he will once more shake not only the earth, but also the heavens, removing what can be shaken so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
We're pilgrims on a journey of the narrow road, and those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary, their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us a heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly life. My kindly words and virtuous love.
Song is He Reigns, the Song of the Redeemed. It's just a picture of heaven where all the people of God from all around the world, every tribe and nation, just praising His name. So I just invite you to stand to sing this closing song.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. It's the song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, love song born. People singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. All God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. Children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory. master, 'cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory.
Well, I would invite Todd Weber to come and share.
God is faithful, amen. Nothing excites me more than hearing stories about God's faithfulness, and I can attest to that. God has come through over and over in my life as well. And I just felt like this morning God was saying, or reaching out saying, I've got this. Maybe there's people here this morning that are in the middle of the storm. God is reaching towards you saying, I've got this, trust me. The other thing that excites me is we just opened the youth center this Friday. We had four kids show up, so we can continue to pray that God will bring the kids and continue to pray protection over the youth center as a whole. And I'm going to be doing prayer letters again. And on the prayer letters, it'll have the times of operation, the staff, and the prayer requests from the kids, and continued prayer from the week before. And I have a sign-up sheet as well. If you would like a copy of the prayer letter, I will be printing them out this morning, and I'll get you one, and you can sign up, and then I will make sure you get one after each week. So thank you for your prayer support.
Thank you, Todd. So I have some announcements for you. There's a note in your bulletin about the church picnic this afternoon into this evening. So I encourage you to look at that and come out to that. I have received a message from Brian Martin. If my phone cooperates. That for many years, Fred and Connie Nault, now Rank, they've been supporters of our youth group. We would donate labor to help pick pumpkins, and they would make a donation towards the youth group. But we as a church would like to go and help them and serve them by just going and to help pick pumpkins without receiving in return. They have blessed us so much, and as Fred's battling cancer and has been doing so for a while, we would like to bless them as a church. So that will be taking place next Saturday morning. That's September 18th. And if you're interested in helping, stepping out and serving in this way, please contact Brian Martin, and he'll give you more details about that. There's also a note in your bulletin that Clarence Martin is still at Ephrata Hospital. He's doing well. I encourage you to pick up the phone and give him and Mary Jane a call. She's at home while he's in the hospital, so you can call either one or both. I encourage you to do that. And it's good to see you here this morning, Esther May. Good to see that you're doing well. So will you stand for this parting benediction? This is from Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. God bless you. You're dismissed.